get in contact and let us know. It might be a bit doomsday-ish, but in the event of a planetary catastrophe, there is a seed fault located inside the Arctic Circle. But what if that gets damaged? And recently there was some indications that it wasn't completely invulnerable. So there are proposals to construct another one on the moon. We're joined by Dave Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon.
Putting it on the moon, I assume that it's gone as far as people thinking, where's a good place on the moon to put this?
Yeah, well, we found out recently that some of the craters at the South Pole of the moon are shadow-filled permanently, probably for billions of years. And so the temperature there drops to around minus 200 Celsius, and you don't need any technology to keep samples of DNA-type material at extremely low temperatures, potentially for forever, certainly as long as we would care to worry about.
Right, okay. And so, I assume that there's a temperature you don't want it to be too cold because it might damage seeds or DNA samples or whatever they think to put there.
Yeah, when you freeze things, you have to be very careful that there's water. All life is based on water, and there's water inside, particularly, say, the cells of humans, any animals, and indeed plants. And if you freeze them the wrong way, then you end up ice crystals form inside the cells can actually destroy the cells. People may have experienced that if they've frozen products and then thawed them out, frozen them again, they end up basically as mush. Mm. You don't want that happening with your DNA samples. You can chill them, though, very carefully and avoid that happening. You can also just take pure DNA samples. DNA being just a molecule can be frozen willy-nilly. So there's a fair bit of technology behind this. The scientists know what they're doing. They're doing it at Svalbard off the north coast of Norway. And there, the natural temperature is very cold, but never minus 200 Celsius, when all life, even bacteria that might prey on these cells and fibrous tissue, definitely stops. So you could preserve samples indefinitely without worrying, is your generator going to break down and not be able to chill the samples to the required temperature? So we think the craters haven't seen sunlight for billions of years.
My word.
For equal amount of time.
How deep are these craters?
Well, on the moon, actually, craters and mountains can be taller, higher, deeper than they are on the Earth. And that's due to the Earth's gravity. The moon's got about 1% of the mass. You weigh six times less on the moon. So mountains can actually spring up higher. The highest mountain on the Earth, Everest, is about 30,000 feet. And if it was twice as high, it would actually sink back into the crust of the Earth. Rock can't actually support structures higher than that. But we don't have that limit on smaller bodies. The biggest mountain in the solar system is Olympus Mons, an extinct volcano on Mars. It's about 50,000 feet high. So on the moon, you can have craters that are tens of thousands of feet deep. You don't need them that deep. A few hundred feet will do. There's plenty that will be a few thousand feet. And the great thing is, on the moon's south pole, which is where the next manned mission to the moon is destined to head in a few years' time, you can actually be on the top of the crater wall, and you're in permanent sunlight because the moon's axis isn't tilted over like the Earth's is. You don't get the same kind of seasons we do on the Earth. So your solar panels work great. They collect sunlight 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever. And then a few thousand feet away, you've got this repository of ice and freezing cold temperatures that the astronauts can use for both fuel, you can turn it to hydrogen, oxygen, and water that you need for life, and you can keep all your samples down there as well. So it's the perfect lunar base.
Okay, that's very interesting. Now, but I assume no one's, or even an unmanned craft, haven't been down these craters. They wouldn't know exactly what's down there.
Well, sort of, yeah. We sound only six crews of 12 people to the moon. I've been lucky enough to shake some of their hands. And they went to the easy to get to parts of the moon. The South Pole is very, very cratered. But even the last mission, Apollo 17, went to a sort of semi-dangerous area. They knew how to land the spacecraft better by then. So we don't think there's going to be any particular problem landing at the South Pole of the moon. Challenging, but we have the technology. No humans, therefore, have been to the South Pole of the moon. But we do have satellites that have flown over and photographed it at very high resolution. And we've also had one spacecraft that's deliberately slammed into one of the craters at South Pole to the Moon. The flash that it produced showed there's water in the bottom of those craters, as we would have suspected. There's other ways of detecting it as well. There's been one probe that's gone to the South Pole. More are planned, and humans are going there. Artemis 1, the first manned mission that was testing the technology, has already circled the moon with nobody on board. Next year, I think it is, we're due to send a crew that will circle the moon. And then the year after that, Artemis 3 crew will land at the South Pole of the moon. And the long-term plan is to have a base there. And they'll spend a week there surveying the area. And they'll be very interested to see how accessible is all this water. And now these cold temperatures for a seed store.
Yeah, how much is known about the Artemis 3 mission? How many people will actually go down to the surface of the moon? Will it like be the old moon shots where one person pulls the short straw and gets to stay by themselves, you know, floating around the moon, and two more go down? Okay, Dave, you there?
Yeah, I could. Probably that. I believe it's four that go on the Artemis cruise. Two are... Hello?
Hello, yes, sorry, we're here. Yeah,
just to News Talk.
Yes.
Sorry.
So you were saying...
They don't have this problem when they go to the moon.
Yeah, you'd hope so. The broadband's really good on the moon, I believe, though. You were saying four people will go down to the surface? Okay, he didn't say
that. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't really... There are two people that go down to the lunar surface, and that it's 1 week they're going to stay there. They didn't, certainly the first mission lasted less than 1 day with Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. Neil, by the way, I met him and talked to him, and he was very proud of his Irish roots. So, in fact, I think he's only one or two generations away from his family having left County Fermanagh. So we can sort of claim the first man on the moon was Irish. Certainly had a lot of Irish DNA in him. And the two people that will land probably 2026 on the Artemis mission. They're spending a week there. So the first mission is not just to get there and get back as quick as you can, because we're not sure how safe it is. Armstrong himself said they reckon they had a 50-50 chance of getting back. They wouldn't allow a mission to go ahead with those kind of safety statistics these days. So we're hopeful that they'll have a great time there. They'll find there's lots of water, because then we've got fuel. We've got life support. You don't have to bring all the water with you, which is very expensive to take it that far to the moon. And we'll be able to sustain the lunar base. So in this decade, we're going to know a lot more than we do today.
Is it known what the lunar module, will they be calling it a lunar module, what those craft will look like?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the prototypes have already been built and unveiled. We've had pictures of them in Astronomy Ireland magazine. If I remember correctly, it's Jeff Bezos' company that's building them. And NASA is now trying to farm things out to commercial companies rather than just spend all of taxpayers' money developing all this hardware. There are certain commercial spin-offs that you can get, and NASA wants that to happen. And they'll be a customer, as we're a very big customer. In this case, they're already paying Elon Musk billions of dollars to service the International Space Station. Contracts have been issued for the Artemis regions to several companies. Right now, a bit embarrassing for Boeing. Two of its astronauts are on the International Space Station, a little bit stranded. They're quite safe. They'll get back. But there's a problem with their craft. They've discovered that the little thrusters they need are overheating. Wouldn't stop them really coming back, but they always like to be extremely safe. And this was Boeing's first test mission, delayed and delayed and delayed. So it's a little bit embarrassing for them, but no danger of loss of life just yet. So there are nine people on board the International Space Station as we speak, three on the Chinese space station. There's 12 people in space now. And those numbers are going to increase and increase as the decades go past.
Those Boeing craft, though, as you said, there were severe delays on them. Then I think that even the initial launch was delayed. And now, as you say, there's more problems with them. From a commercial point of view, does that bode badly for them in the future, given that there's a lot of competition now?
Probably not. I mean, space is difficult. And when you put human lives on the line, especially in today's environment, you have to be really, really careful. Human spaceflight costs a lot more than sending robot craft up. If the robot craft goes up, blows up, loses contact or something goes wrong, it's just a loss of money and maybe a lot of time of the careers of the engineers and scientists behind it all. So it's certainly a significant event, but at least there's no loss of life. I mean, if you look at the shuttle disasters we had, the missions, the whole program was put back 2 years every time just to do the investigation before they made any changes and dared go again. Often you can have backup spacecraft that can be quickly cobbled up if it's robot craft. So a lot of people think actually we shouldn't be doing manned exploration. You can do a lot of it with robots, but then other people say, first of all, there's a lot more human could do thinking on the spot. And secondly, it really gets the human civilization fired up when there are people out there doing the actual research. So it's a bit of a setback for Boeing, but these things happen in space. Even Elon Musk's SpaceX company had a failure there recently. The European Space Agency, Ariane missions were very successful. They did have the odd failure as well. Space is still a little bit dangerous. I remember I applied to be an astronaut once, and the person doing the testing on us said, "You're not scared of going up into space." And my attitude was, you know, it's such a cutting-edge thing to do. It's worth the risk.
Yeah. That's a failed astronaut, Dave Moore there. Dave, Dave, thanks very much. Thanks for talking to us today.
It says that on my CV, actually.
Also editor, of course, of Astronomy Ireland magazine. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.